Two places. First place I'll be reading from is Genesis chapter 21. Actually, Genesis 22, I'm sorry. Genesis 22. And I will be reading the first 19 verses. Genesis 22. Let us hear the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. When he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but then the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And till this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Now turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll be reading Hebrews 11, the verses 13 through 19. Hebrews 11, the verses 13 through 19. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. The last couple weeks in the book of Genesis, we have been focusing on the promises that were given to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, God said to Abraham, "Abraham, I will give you a nation in which you and your family can live in and enjoy the country, a country which is not here on earth, but a heavenly country in which you can live." And then God also promised to Abraham that he would give Abraham many descendants, as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And we have been looking the last couple weeks about how Abraham believed it by faith. While living on earth, Abraham never received the land here on earth. He was always a sojourner. He was always a wanderer. While living on earth, Abraham didn't have a child. You say he did have a child. During the time that Abraham and Sarah were capable of bearing a child, they had no child. When Sarah was past the age of childbearing, when Abraham was past the age where his body could produce life, they had a child. God had given them a child. You can imagine their life. God called them to leave their home country. He told them he'd give them a land and many descendants. And they lived their whole life not ever finding that land here on earth. And they lived that whole life capable, during the time they were capable of having a child, never having a child. This is the promise to Abraham. This was the promise that we have been looking at these last couple weeks. And these two passages we're going to look at today, you can see in the structure of Hebrews, better explains those two promises. The verses 13 through 16 further explains the promise of the land given in verses 8 through 10 of chapter Hebrews, of chapter 11 of Hebrews. And the verses 17 through 19 better explains the promise of life that is explained in Hebrews in verses 11 and 12. These two passages today are a greater explanation of the two promises that Abraham received and the two promises that Abraham believed by faith. And so let's look what these verses are telling us further about the faith of Abraham and about the promise. First thing it tells us in verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. What people is he talking about? Well, that was given to us in verse 9. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Who were these people described that were to live by faith? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what is the author telling us in verse 13? He's telling us that three generations never received the promise of the land. Abraham never received the land on earth that God had said he would give him. Isaac lived his whole life, Abraham's son. He lived and died. He did not receive the land. Jacob, after Isaac, lived his whole life. He never received this land from God. All these people, it says in verse 13, they were still living by faith when they died. They died in faith that even though they experienced death, they still believed that God's promise of the land would come true. And he explains that in verse 13. It says, they did not receive the things promised, but they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. All of the time that they were living on earth, they knew of God's promise to Abraham, but they never received the promise. They saw it, it says, at a distance. They knew that someday God would give them this. But they saw that even beyond their own death, their death in this world, God's promise was still true. And so as they lived on this earth, what does it say? They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on this earth. This earth was not their home, but their eyes were on the land that God had for them. Land which they never experienced on earth. But now look what our author does in 14. He says, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. The author now has said, this story about Abraham and about Isaac and Jacob, these sojourners, these people who wandered in the land, this story is not just so we can read this story of Abraham and say, okay, Abraham was obedient, you be obedient. Abraham had faith, now you have faith. No, the author of Hebrews is saying, look, this story about Abraham is the story of our lives here. These people who lived admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. That's what we are to do. People who say such things, he says, show that they are looking for a country not their own. We are to say such things. We are, as they admitted, to say that they were aliens and strangers on this earth. So we are to admit that we are aliens and strangers on this earth. And God reminds us of this, doesn't he? There are times where things happen to us, where we lose our earthly possessions, that we know that we are strangers. Someone steals your car. You know that this world is not your home. You maybe lost your car, but your future's not here. Your future's in heaven. Perhaps you have a home or a house or whatever it is, and you see others that have other things that you wish that you could have. Perhaps you always feel like you're striving to have more things, more possessions on this earth. God's doing that for a reason. This is not your home. God is reminding you that you don't need all of those things, because if you have those things, perhaps your mind will not be on heaven, but on earth. We are reminded of this time and time again as we live our lives, as we experience frustrations, as we see the political process even of our own country, where perhaps we get frustrated by elections or laws that are passed and we say, how come it couldn't be done this way? I'm a Christian. I believe in God's word. God is reminding you, this world is not your home. You are to admit that you are an alien and a stranger on this earth, as these people in the book of Hebrews were told to admit the same thing. What happened to them? Remember in chapter 10, verse 34? You sympathize with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better lasting possessions. They had lost their property. They had lost things. They were going through a struggle on this life as to whether they should continue believing in Christ and whether he was their Savior. And the author of Hebrews is saying, look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God gave them a promise of a land, and they lived their whole lives, three generations, and the land never came here on this earth for them to see. They always saw it from a distance. And now the author of Hebrews is saying, that is your life. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ died on the cross and was risen again. But God has given a promise that those who know Jesus as their Savior, they will someday go to heaven. And you live on this earth and you say, well, it's been 2,000 years. Is it really going to happen? But that is the faith of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They lived their lives as sojourners. They always knew that this world was not their own. And while they lived, they never experienced the great country here on this earth. But the country was in the future and in heaven. And even though they didn't experience here, they didn't give up on the promise. And so in verse 15 he goes on, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. They had opportunity to return. Abraham lived a full life, and then there came Isaac. Now, don't you think Isaac could have thought, well, the promise was made to my father, and should I really still trust in this promise? Here it was given to my father, and my father never received it. Maybe I should go back to the land of Ur, where Abraham, my father, grew up, and I could go back there, and there would be relatives there, and I could go live there, no longer a sojourner. You see, the author of Hebrews is saying these people had opportunity to go back to the country they had left. They could have gone back. Jacob, here was three generations further. He could have also gone back to the land of Ur. But all three generations believed that God's promise was true, that they would receive the land, and even if they experienced death in this world, they never gave up on that promise because they knew that God was beyond death. And now the author of Hebrews is saying to the people who he's writing to, look, you have opportunity to go back. You can have earthly things. You can go back and live no longer as a stranger, but join the world, live like the world, be accepted like the world, and live like a non-Christian, and go back to your former country. But then you are not living with the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They never gave up on the promise. They never gave up on the faith. All the people around him, all that lived around them, they did not have this faith. They said, this world is it. This is all there is to you and to life. You live and you die in this world. You try to accomplish everything you can with all the possessions you have, and that's it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said, no. God has a greater country. We are strangers to that lifestyle. We are strangers to them. This is the message of Hebrews 11, verse 15. They had opportunity to go back, but they didn't go back. Why? Verse 16. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They had their eyes on a better country, not one on this earth, not one where they could be friends instead of strangers. Not one where they could have many things on this earth, where they always knew that this earth or their home or their house or the place where they lived was their home. But they went through struggles in life so that their eyes were on heaven and not on this earth. And death did not stop the promise. You see, this promise of the land, which we have just described, is very, very much tied in to these next three verses, verses 17, 18, and 19. Because without these verses, there would be no hope for the land for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you see the middle of the page there, verse 17, the middle of the verse? By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, he who had received the promises. The promise of the land and of life is tied in to the promise of Abraham and Isaac. Let's look what our author says. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And the Greek words there, as we look at them, or the Greek verbs, they indicate to us that Abraham had given Isaac as a sacrifice. It was done. In Abraham's mind, Isaac was dead. Turn back to Genesis 22, if you would. Genesis 22. And look what it says. Look at the description of verse 9. Genesis 22, verse 9. When they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. By all accounts, this passage indicates to us that Abraham had given the full knowledge in his mind that he was going to destroy and kill Isaac. He had arranged the wood on the altar, he had bound his son upon it, and he had raised the knife to stab him. By all accounts, and by Hebrews 11, verse 17, Abraham, in his mind, had already sacrificed his son Isaac. But what else does it say in Hebrews 11, verse 17? He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Why did God demand Isaac? Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac. Why? Because God demanded it. But what is this promise that is given here? It says that he who had received the promise, Abraham, it is through Isaac that your son will inherit these, or it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. It is through Isaac you will have many, many descendants. And so now Abraham is called to sacrifice his son, his only son Isaac, as it says in your translations, his only begotten son Isaac, that God had given him. Why? Because God demanded this seed. Now, through Abraham's mind, wouldn't you think that God was contradicting his promise? God says, "Abraham, through Isaac, your offspring will be blessed, and you'll have offspring as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Now I'm telling you to kill Isaac." How could Abraham do such a thing? Well, look at verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Look at Genesis 22 again, verse 5. Look what Abraham says as he goes on his way to sacrifice his son. Verse 5. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham is going, he is leaving his servants behind because he knows that if his servants go along with him, they would think he is crazy and try to stop him. So Abraham leaves them behind, and he goes with the boy, and what does he say? "We will worship." Well, how is he going to worship God? He's going to worship God by sacrificing his son. But notice what he says. "And then we will come back to you." Abraham had reasoned in his mind, according to Hebrews 11, verse 19, that God could raise the dead. Yes, this promise that God has given me seems to contradict himself. God is saying, "I will give you many descendants through Isaac, but now you are to kill Isaac." But death doesn't stop God. Abraham had reasoned that death could stop people. People can live their life and enjoy a wealthy life. They can enjoy and accomplish many things, and then death stops them. But Abraham reasoned that death cannot stop God. God has given his promise. God's promise is true. And even if I kill and sacrifice my son Isaac, God's promise will still be fulfilled. Now these people earlier who were sojourning, who were wandering, they lived their lives and they died, never receiving the promise of the land here on this earth. But their death did not stop God's fulfillment of the promise. They saw that God's promise was true and death could not stop God. So many times when we think of Abraham and Isaac, we think of Abraham going up on the mountain and he's going up there weeping. "Oh God, how could you do this to my son Isaac?" And we've heard stories perhaps of Abraham lifting the knife and shaking his hand, barely able to do it over his son. That's not the picture of Abraham in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is telling us that Abraham sacrificed his son. In his mind, Isaac was already dead, and in his mind, Abraham believed that God could raise the dead. But notice what it says. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. As Abraham was ready to put the knife through his son, God had provided a ram. God had provided a substitute. The promised seed was about to be destroyed by death and sacrificed to God, but God had provided a substitute. Isaac was a sinner. Isaac needed a substitute for him to be raised, and God had provided that ram. You see, this passage in Hebrews is a picture of God's greater Son. God sent His Son, the Messiah, into this world, His only begotten Son, verse 17, as God's promised seed. God had promised that through the Messiah, through the Lord Jesus Christ, God would save this world. And now the Hebrews are living their lives, the people here in the book of Hebrews, and God's Messiah came and he died on the cross. God's promised seed, the promise that God had given, the promise of future, of hope in this world, died on the cross. That was not the expectation of the Jews and of the people expecting the Messiah. They wanted a Messiah who would not make the world a stranger to them, but who would lead armies into battle to conquer the world, to again make the nation of Israel a wealthy and a prosperous nation, so that the people would not have their eyes on the future city that is in heaven, but that they would have their eyes on this earth. But instead, God demanded His promised seed. God demanded that the promised Messiah who was to come was not to lead Jewish armies, but this promised Messiah was to go to the cross, to be the sacrifice, to be the substitute for Abraham, for Isaac, and all of his offspring. This promised seed was to pay the price for the penalty of sin, for the covenant of life, the covenant of works that they had broken, and was to keep that covenant and to provide life. The promised seed that Abraham was bringing was a picture of the promised seed that God would later send, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He could be raised from the dead. Death does not stop God's promise. God cannot deny Himself. God's promised seed died on the cross, but God's promised seed conquered death and rose from the grave. And as Isaac was received back from death by the substitute that was paid, so Christ was received back from death after the penalty was paid. Isaac had a substitute. Christ did not have a substitute. The story of Abraham is not a story that we look back and say, okay, wow, Abraham really had faith. And he must have really thought that God really wasn't going to do that. God was just putting him through a trial, and he knew that God would stop him at the last minute. No. This story of Abraham, this call to faith in Hebrews, is our call to faith in our God. The sojourners lived their life on this earth knowing that if they died and they did not receive the promise of the land, there would still be life. There would still be a future. How come there was still future for them? Because of God's promised seed, the Messiah that He demanded, that he called for him to be sacrificed would provide a resurrection and would provide life and would provide life beyond this world. Now God has sacrificed his Son and he has provided this life through Christ. And we are called not only to live faith as sojourners, but we are called to the faith in the God who raises the dead. You see how the promise works? You live your life. You go through struggles. You lose earthly possessions. You get sick. Family members live and they die. But that doesn't stop God's promise. God's promise goes beyond this world to the promise of heaven. Death doesn't stop you. And why? Because of what God did on that cross. Abraham not only lived his life as a sojourner, that God would have a city for him, but Abraham lived his life that even if God took his son, if Abraham had to sacrifice his own son on the cross or on the altar, there would still be life. God can raise the dead. You see how Abraham lived his life? This is where we are caught. Abraham's faith is our faith. Jesus has been raised. 2,000 years ago, people will tell you, well, you know, that was 2,000 years ago and we weren't there. How do we know that that really happened? Well, we know because of faith. We can reason as Abraham reasoned that God can raise the dead. We can reason as Abraham reasoned that people who live by faith can still live and hope for a better country when they die. We may not see these promises fulfilled on this earth, but God cannot deny his promises. When we have Christ as our Savior, they are fulfilled. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look at the faith of Abraham, we see his faith in the life that you gave him. Because he trusted, Lord, the promise of a Messiah, the promise of the seed, that the price for his sin would be paid for, and that he could have life beyond this world. And, O Lord, as we hear this morning, we live with awe that Abraham could live his life and know that what happened to him on this earth, and Lord, what possessions he had on this earth, did not matter. For he was a sojourner. He was a wanderer. And Lord, without the death and the resurrection of the promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, he could have no hope to enjoy that heavenly city. And Lord, that is how we live. And Lord, keep us away from worldly things, things which cause us not to focus on heaven, but to focus on earth. And Lord, keep us strong. We know, O Lord, that there are struggles and trials that you put us through, which constantly remind us that this is not our home, but our home is in heaven. And we pray, Lord, that as we live, we may have the same confidence, the same reasoning that Abraham had, that you do raise the dead, that you save us from this world and from this death to the city which is in heaven. O Lord, give us the strength every day to live this life faithfully to you. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.